Welcome and good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Spring Force Qigong International Guild Leader Call with Spring Force Qigong Master Glenn Tobey. Tonight he's going to be speaking, Listening to the Whispers, Part 5 of Listening to the Whispers. It's a 6-part series, so there's one more part after this evening's. Glenn is a Spring Force Qigong master. He has worked in the field of human services for many, many years, almost 40 years. He's a licensed independent clinical social worker in private practice in Duluth. He has a beautiful spirit, a wonderful sense of humor, great intelligence, and he has played various roles in the Spring Force Qigong community in so many beautiful ways. He's a gorgeous human being, and I'm so honored to present Glenn Tobey speaking on Listening to the Whispers. Welcome, Glenn.
Well, thank you, Jackie, for that really stunning introduction. Who is this guy? So,
you're welcome. All true.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm in my office in Duluth, Minnesota, northern Minnesota. I was saying to Jackie a little earlier that I'm right now pacing in my office, you know, kind of collecting my thoughts about trying to read the audience. I wonder what people, you know, perhaps are wanting to hear or what information they would like. And so I do have some thoughts actually prepared, but it's always nice to have Jackie around. Maybe I'll ask her a question so she can chip in with the wisdom that she has. You know, the Spring Force Qigong is really such a continually developing, powerful, you know, mysteriously, you know, incredible way of, you know, looking at life and the perspectives in life, and you know, just everything keeps unfolding. I find myself over the time, you know, just kind of sticking with it. You know, sometimes I get so busy and I go, oh, what about this? And then, you know, then things get to be another understanding. Oh, then things get kind of, oh, and then, you know, a deeper, richer understanding. So I'd like to share some thoughts like that. You know, I work as a psychotherapist as well, so I really talk with people, you know, all day long in different capacities. You know, honor there to listen to people's stories, you know, to help them also to take a deeper look, you know, at the life they have. And in a way, you know, I'm sort of speaking as my job, that's what I do, but we all have that connection to others, the opportunity, you know, that, to be honored to listen, you know, to the lives of other people's stories, both helping them to perhaps get a clearer view or helping you to understand, oh, wow, life is really fantastic. There's so many different ways people live their lives. So the title for this 6-part series started, you know, a long time ago when I was working with street kids, just to repeat the little starting point story, that I had been working with this 16-year-old girl that wound up shooting herself to death. And so the phrase that came in as I kind of try to understand life perhaps in a different way was that here she was showing me the extent of her screams in her life, and it showed me how far away from the whispers I was from her. So it gave me the, you know, the teaching story that, you know, I am not in control of her life in a way, but what can I learn from the experiences that are presented to me? And so one is the screams are certainly the thing that attracts attention. But it's the whispers that really are the things that need to be listened to. And so it's really helped me over the years to find my way into trying to listen a lot more, to more deeply to what the information is, to what the message is about someone's life. And that's where the honor is. It's an honor to listen to the quietness, to the stillness, the whispers of people's lives. It's an incredible amount of actually joy, and a deepening joy about life. So the last few times I've spoken toward this topic, you know, I've tried to start off looking at those who have tuned in to your leadership development. So how is it that you have tied into this phone call, perhaps, to be a leader? You know, what is it that you're trying to lead? Or what are people asking of you as a leader, perhaps of a practice group or other kind of capacities that you serve? You know, what kind of honor is it to work in a leadership capacity? So then I brought up the concept of humility, being not being more than who you are, but not being less than who you are. So not so much being egoless, but being, you know, who you are. You know, Master Lin speaks so clearly about, you know, coming back to your original nature. And so energetically and just practically day by day, you know, my original nature can be acted out, you know, as a leader to say, this is what I have to offer. In one level, not more, not less. You know, and here's what's happening. And so the more you center yourself that way, then you're able to both listen to the whispers and perhaps, you know, react to the scream or to some sort of distress call. And then I think I moved into talking about what do you think Master Lin's plan for you is? You know, he has this spiritual life as his focal point. And he's developed so many tools and techniques and exercises and all sorts of beautiful, beautiful things. But really with that one thought in mind, you know, how can you become a more of a spiritual person? How can you see reality from a more spiritual vantage point? So not escaping life by just staying in that spiritual realm, so to speak, but how can the connection, living in that spiritual realm, help me back into reality so that I can deal with the reality of life, perhaps with the screams of life, from a spiritual point of view. Then I moved a little bit into trying to understand containment and limitations, how in our minds, you know, in our hearts, we limit ourselves to things. Master Lin's beautiful finger-growing game exercise that the energy goes where the mind goes. You know, the fingers grow because the mind says they can. And the ramifications of that are so powerfully wonderful. So can I walk through a wall? You know, can I move through the limits of my mind? Can I be the leader that I wish to be? You know, all those kind of limitations that we might place upon ourselves, the distractions we have or the obstacles that maybe we put inside ourselves in our leadership, you know, the lack of confidence maybe, the doubt that we share sometimes. Finding a way to transform those kinds of thoughts into a higher level of energy, and that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about shortly. I talked a little bit more as a leader about helping people to tame their heart, to learn how to open their heart. And it's by opening people's hearts, opening your own heart, that you see more things. Remember Master Lin's seven dimensions. It's the opening of the heart that moves you from that third dimension into the fourth, fifth, sixth dimension. It's that heart energy, that love energy that does the trick. So tonight, I've started this little paragraph before in trying to understand and explain Spring Far Shikong in my understanding. So sometimes when I address audiences or in practice groups, I start with that Spring Far, I don't want you to get sick. If you get sick, I want you to get better faster. If you can get better faster, you can get back to doing the things that you need to do to make a difference in the world. That we need to balance the energy in our body. If the energy is balanced, then our body does well. If her body is not doing well, it's because the energy in her body is not doing well. So how can we balance the meridians, and what are the things that kind of affect how it works? So I've touched a little bit in the past and a little bit more tonight on kind of the impact of trauma and the impact of sadness or grieving and how to look at it a little bit energetically. So the idea of a trauma, you know, I really see it just so often, so it's a kind of a topic in my job, in my psychotherapist job, that is probably present in 80% or more of the conversations I hold with people. People have experienced some forms of trauma in their life, whether it's an automobile accident or being assaulted in some way, being in difficult, traumatic experiences in families or relationships. All those forms of trauma really have a significant impact, you know, on our lives. And what I say sometimes is that everything really matters. Everything that's happened with us really matters energetically in our body. But it affects how and where the energy flows, perhaps the vibrational level of that energy, the frequency of that energy. So there's two kind of sentences about trauma that really are lingering ones. One is kind of getting assaulted or something happening. The phrase is, you know, someone is taking something away from me without my permission. So those who've experienced assault or trauma to whatever degree really have resonated with that phrase. They do feel as if somebody has robbed them, whether it's their physical body, whether it's their emotional body, sometimes a spiritual body too, that things have happened to them without a mutual agreement. You lose a ping pong game with your friend, that's a mutual agreement loss. But if someone steals something from you, then it kind of implants in your mind, I've lost ownership of my own life. And that kind of message begins to kind of permeate how you interpret life and sometimes closes you off relationally. The other sentence that goes with this often is, when will it happen again? So I can survive, I think I said this the last time, a kind of a car accident at an intersection. But then days or weeks or months later, in the back of my head, I have this thought, when will it happen again? Or when will I be hurt again? Or when will? So it leaves a pattern of thinking subtly. I had cancer 13 years ago, and every now and then the little pop-up button in my head goes, you know, I have a sore knee today. I wonder if cancer has returned. A little bit of the trauma, the repetitive message. So events in our life, you know, really hold information. You know, it transforms the events. We've all survived the events, but now they're really transformed into information. And then the information, you know, really is a vibration. So is it a healthy vibration? Is it a negative vibration, a lower form of energy? Remember, if the energy flows well, you know, at a good speed, the body does well. So if I interpret the kind of traumatic experiences I've had, you know, at an emotional level, then my energy, my body flows down. So the emotions that usually accompany, you know, people with traumatic experiences, I say this to you as leaders, so when you work in your practice groups or elsewhere, you kind of take note, you know, that the anger that's there because of the loss of their ownership of their own life, you know, the fear that's there, you know, when will this happen again? And so you know that the anger then affects the liver system so powerfully. We know the fear affects the kidney system so profoundly. We know the anxiety that comes about wondering when will things happen again also affects that liver system. The worrying about it, the overthinking about it, affects the stomach system. So here are these kinds of traumatic events, you know, even though everyone has gotten past them to some degree, they can remain in us, you know, take an energetic form in different systems of our body, slow the energy down to a point where it can be not helpful. So in a way, that's a form of, in my mind, a kind of a scream. The body is screaming that it's not working well. It's being contained or held back. And so the idea is then to help people with that liver energy, with that kidney energy. You know, even though I do, you know, a lot of talk therapy, so to speak, and I know ways in which that works very well. Also having people work, you know, in the movements that we'll do in a couple of minutes or so. And moving that energy from anger energy up to a higher level of energy. And that's the flip side of some of this, is the grief and loss and the sadness that people can experience. So those two, you know, have a major impact on how people kind of live out their life. Now, grief and sadness are not enemies. You know, however, if they become so strong, then they begin to affect how it flows. So the purpose of the sadness energetically is to try to make a connection outside your body. So as you talk with people, work with people, experiencing sadness, experiencing grief, the encouragement from you, you know, is to have them make a connection with someone. To stay isolated is to move that sadness into aloneness and into kind of a form of depression or powerlessness. And so now we're back to, again, working with that kidney energy, working with that liver energy, working with these kinds of ways to keep the body flowing well. So if I was, again, to relook at how would I explain Spring Force Qigong on an elevator and I have 16 seconds. So a little bit of a phrase that I've been toying around in my mind is Spring Force Qigong wants to move the energy into its highest form so that it comes out in unconditional love. I kind of stumbled over that. So how can I raise the vibration or the frequency in my body to the level of unconditional love? If I can be at that level of unconditional love, then my body's energy is so powerful, so pure. And then how do we get there? So the focus on what and how we can do that, in one sense, anything can help you raise the level of the energy in your body or lower it. The more I connect myself to negative energy, negative situations, and stay there, then I'm toying with this question of what level of energy do I wish to live at? And then in some regard, I'm choosing to live at a lower form of energy. The connection to pain and suffering is really important here. So I've been using this little story to explain it in my community lately. So I have a friend, Tom, and this is a fictional story, but I have a friend, Tom, that when I was walking downtown in Duluth, you know, I walked by this bar and I look in, and at the back end of the bar, here's Tom drinking away. It's 10 in the morning. And Tom, through the open door, sees me and waves me into the room and says, "Glenn, great to see you. You know, come on, I've already had 10 drinks. Come on, sit down and enjoy, you know, catch up with me." You know, so if I'm at a good level of energy, you know, what am I wanting to do with Tom's pain and suffering? Now, you could think, oh, you should go in there and you should get to his level so he has a great trust for you, and then maybe you can help him. But I think the opposite. You know, how do you go in there with your higher level of energy, so to speak. No judgment, not better than, it's just at a different level of energy. Recognize Tom's pain and suffering, and then, so to speak, invite him outside. Come on, Tom, let's go outside. Hey, let's go take a walk. Let's go get a cup of coffee. Hey, let's go to AA meeting. Come on out. Rather than let me sit still and drink with him. So if I join into someone else's pain and suffering as a leader, then I'm lowering the energy that I have that may help the other person. So the idea is coming in, you know, to meet people, not in a way where you take on the other person's energy, lower form of energy, not losing your energy to the other person, but inviting that other person up to your energy level. So how do you do things that keeps your higher energy level stable, sustainable, clear, rather than thinking I have to find a way to rescue Tom? No, Tom has to find a way also to be invited up, to be lifted up into your energy level. And when I think this way, then I think this is what the Masters want us to do. So the Master's energies are this form of unconditional love. They don't lower themselves. They don't lose their energy to help us. You know, they don't say, oh, Glenn's in a lot of trouble right now. I think I'll go help him. I'll have to lower my energy down further in order to wallow where Glenn is. No, they stay in that high energy. That's why Master Lin talks so much about connect with your master, connect with your master. He doesn't say, oh, bring your master down to a lower energy. He says, no, you know, connect with that higher energy. Connect with that master's energy. An energy that's pure, energy that's more positive. Connect, go up, be lifted up to your master's energy. So that's a model. If that's a relationship that you have with your master, then this is a model of other people with you, finding a way, as the masters have done, to have a higher sense of energy, to work on having a pure form of energy, moving yourself more and more into that unconditional love. So on a daily basis, you're working on not judging other people or, you know, being in that negative place at all, but staying higher up. In the United States, these last months or so, there's this presidential election going on where the two main characters, you know, whether the policies are good or bad, I don't know. That's not part of this conversation. But what they have been doing in their attacking of each other has created so much trauma being developed, not just between the two candidates, but as people have noticed, have tuned into the debates or tuned into the comments, that they start absorbing the negative, you know, the pain and suffering that the candidates are exhibiting and trying to bring out into the others, so that everybody's energy, so to speak, gets lower and lower and everyone's pain and suffering gets deeper and deeper. There's no leadership that invites people up to a higher level, so everyone remains lost or locked into their own pain and suffering. So as leaders, is always finding a way to know, how do I get back? How do I maintain my own high level of energy? And then as a leader with this high level of energy, what's your role in your community? You know, I do believe there's an obligation, you know, as the masters have done, to avail yourself, to make yourself available to people in the community, either in a relationship or in an activity. And again, it's not so much knowing what to do as much as coming into situations where your energy is so beautiful, so wonderful, in a way people just love being around you. Your joy, your joking, your hugging, just that higher level of energy can change the people's lives and move them up, realize they can move themselves up to a higher level of energy. They can call on your energy. So part of our task or our responsibility is to see that our own energy is so pure and so wonderful. And I think, you know, then as Master Lin is teaching us to live at this higher level, this spiritual level, this unconditional love level, so that we can make a difference in the reality of the world in front of us or around us. You know, the world has been kind of crazy for, you know, a million years or so. So some of that never changes, but it always needs, you know, the influx of kind of the Master's energy. You know, your energy coming from that spiritual place, you know, connecting with pain and suffering on the level of reality. So whether there are elections this year in the States, there will be elections somewhere else, and there will be this and that and this, you know, all the time. I think when I was a really young man, maybe 22, I had this question: if the world is so bad, how come it's not worse? I think it's not worse even now, because of people like yourselves, leaders like yourselves, that keep working, keep experiencing, keep practicing this higher form of energy, this spiritual energy, this connection to unconditional love. I think as that sifts back down, so to speak, as the reality of the world gets more and more connected to your unconditional love, it changes things. It's a very deep and very profound thing to do. Let's see. I wanted to move into movements, but maybe if Jackie's close by, if there is a question.
Okay, Glenn, I will take a look.
So otherwise,
I mean, let me take
talk
a look.
About healing movements.
Okay, hold on a moment. I will check. Let me check the question. Oh, okay. So, from Charlene, New York. Charlene says, "Hello, Glenn and Jackie. Before the call, though, you likely won't see it till question time." So she's saying hello from Charlene, New York. Hello, Charlene.
Hello, Charlene.
Love hearing from you.
I wish we could tune in and let Charlene talk about the wonderful things that she does with practice groups in her area.
Absolutely.
In New York, New Jersey.
It's amazing what she has done. It's absolutely fabulous.
Really
very, yeah, very happy with hearing her story. So that is all for the questions at this time,
good.
Glenn.
Okay.
Okay.
So Master Lin's teaching of these five healing movements. So when I speak about how to move to a higher level of energy, you know, kind of like what level of energy do you wish to live at, the beauty of these five movements are so, so powerful. So if you're doing them, that's wonderful. If you're not, certainly my suggestion is to connect with them. And the thinking behind them, you know, we'll do one of them for the time. But the first movement is focused on the liver energy. And so then the energetic task of that liver energy is to help move out that anxiety, that anger energy. But the counterbalance to that, you know, is this energy of happiness. So in this movement, as you're, you know, moving the hands and stuff, your focus is on happiness. Kind of the phrase is, "I feel happy." You know, as I've explained a little bit, you know, you don't rate it, you don't evaluate it, you don't fix a percentage to it. You just say, "I feel happy," and then feel that high energy. So in this practice of these movements, you're practicing, you know, getting a relationship, so to speak, on how does that happiness feel. You don't have to prove you're happy. You just feel that high energy. And the counterbalance is when you feel that high energy of happiness, that anxiety and anger doesn't have fuel, can't take root. So the more you can practice and live in that sense of happiness, the more that the anxiety and the anger doesn't take root. And then the second movement focuses on the heart, about the depressive energy. And then the high energy connection, that emotion, is on joy. You just say, what? I feel joy. You don't rate it. I don't evaluate it. I just feel joy. And the same counterbalance, when you're feeling that energy of joy, then depression can't take root, can't be fueled. It doesn't work. Those two energies don't help each other. And that third movement is on that stomach energy of overthinking, over-worrying, helps to clear that out. And the high energy emotion to focus on is peacefulness. So when you're having that connection to that energy of peacefulness, then in one sense you can't over-worry or overthink. Oh, no, it doesn't. I'm so peaceful. Why worry? Why over-worry? Why overthink? It's a beautiful connection. So you stay in that experience of peacefulness. And the fourth movement is on the lung energy of sadness and grieving that gets stuck. But the high energy focuses on, I'm content. I feel satisfied. So feeling content, feeling satisfied, doesn't allow the sadness, the grieving to get stuck. It doesn't get fueled. Then the last movement is on the kidneys, the fear. Help moving that fear energy out of the body. And then the counterbalance to that, the focus is on, I feel grateful, I feel thankful. So if you're feeling grateful and thankful, then fear doesn't take root, doesn't have the fuel. But then everything is a teacher, everything is really wonderful. And so here you're not just faking it, you're really practicing these high emotions. So in one sense, we practice life every single moment, everything we do. We're practicing, so to speak. It's just that we practice some things more than others. So we can equally practice. I feel happy. I feel joy. I feel peacefulness. I feel content. I feel satisfied. I feel grateful. I feel thankful. I don't have to wait till I have an event or a specific experience. Oh, that was a happy thing that happened. Oh, now I can practice happiness. No, the beauty of these movements is you can learn how to use them, you know, for the next 23 hours and 30 minutes of your day. So how can I live, again, at that high level, the master's level of using these emotions? So I'd like to move into a little bit of a meditation. So what I'd like you to do, wherever you are now, if you're laying down, or if you're sitting still, find a place that either you can lay down, sit still, or stand still. But find a way that you're not moving. So anything that happens, a fly in your nose, an itch on your cheek, a little discomfort in the part of the body, see if you can be in a place where you don't have to change. Just sit still. Drop the shoulders down if you're sitting or standing. If you're sitting, hands can be open, closed, open or face down, face up, face down. And then start to slow your breath down. Be aware of your breath. So perhaps inhale, then exhale. Inhale, exhale. And then inhale almost to the top of your head. And then exhale almost to the bottoms of your feet. Do that again. Inhale almost to the top of your head. Exhale to the bottom of your feet almost. Do that again. Inhale almost to the top of your head. Exhale almost to the bottom of your feet. And now slow that breath down. And inhale to the top of your head. Let your mind follow that breath to the top of the head. And then exhale all the way to the bottom of the feet. And let your mind follow that exhale all the way down the body. Don't worry about your lungs. Then inhale from the bottom of the feet all the way to the top of the head again. Let your mind follow that breath. You might have to make a few little adjustments in timing. No worry. Good, better, and best. Exhale all the way down to the bottom of the feet. Do that two more times. Inhaling to the top. Slowing the breath down as much as you can. Then as your inhale gets back to the top of the head, continue that breathing. But scan your body from the top of the head all the way down through the body to the bottom of the feet. Clearing all the channels in your head. Opening all the channels in your neck, in your arms, in your fingers. Opening the channels in your chest, and front area, down the back, down the spine. Opening the channels in the hip area, down the thighs, through the knees. Channels are open, open. Through the calves, to the ankles, right to the tips of the toes. Let all the channels in your body are open. Remember that energy follows where your mind follows. So your mind says, my channels are open. Then the channels are open. And then with light, with emotion, from the top of the head, just move that energy of happiness down through the head, all the way through your body. So your whole body is saying, I feel happy. Take about 10 seconds or so to use that phrase down through your whole body. I feel happy. I feel happy. I feel happy in my chest. I feel happy in my hips. I feel happy in my knees. Feel happy in my toes. And then from the top of the head, joy. Bring that down through your body. Oh, I feel joy in my whole body. I feel joy in my head. I feel joy in my spine. I feel joy in my stomach. I just feel joy in my thighs. I feel joy in my knees. Joy in my toes. I feel such peacefulness starting again at the top of the head. I feel such peacefulness in my whole body. I feel peacefulness in my mind. I feel peacefulness in my chest. I don't have to prove it. I just say I feel peacefulness, and you are. I feel peacefulness in my back, in my thighs, in my knees, in my ankles, in my toes. And then from the top of the head, I feel content. I feel satisfied. Bringing that beautiful feeling, the powerful energy feeling through my whole body. I feel so content. I feel so satisfied. You don't prove it. You don't evaluate it. You just feel the content. Just feel the satisfaction. Don't have to think of an example. Just feel. And then from the back to the top of the head again, the emotion of gratefulness and thankfulness. So again, scan through your body. I feel so grateful. I feel so thankful. Bring it through every part of your body. Don't prove it. Don't find an example. Just feel thankful. Feel grateful. All the way down through the knees to the toes. Your whole body filled with those energy emotions. So for a minute, just for a moment, I mean, just reconnect with those emotions. Happy. Joy. Peacefulness. content, satisfied, grateful, thankful. And then feel these feelings really as if it's unconditional love. That wherever I go, I'm living with those emotions. I'm happy. I feel joy. I feel peaceful. I feel content. I feel satisfied. I feel grateful. I feel thankful. And in this feeling, in this level of energy, find a way that you connect to your master. And for this next few moments, connect to your master who has this unconditional love. And then you realize with the happiness and the joy and the peacefulness and the content and satisfaction and gratefulness and thankfulness that you too have this unconditional love because of the connection to this energy. Almost as if the connection to your master being lifted up from that unconditional love, it may almost be the close to the same. That perhaps you too have that master's energy as a leader. So for the next few moments in quiet, stay connected to your master's energy in this high level energy that you also have just experienced and practiced. And then you realize if I can sustain this connection, that my connection to reality, the everyday chaos of life, or the trials and tribulations, the suffering and pain that others may have, I can find a way to connect with all that in such a way, such a powerful way of loving, of unconditional love. When you view the world, you experience the world from that level, then you have a profound understanding of what's going on. You don't get caught up in the mud or in the go-nowhere kinds of things or the confusion. It's a phenomenal way of seeing the world. And then as a leader, you're able to help people at a deeper and richer and more profound level. So for the next couple of minutes, stay connected to the master's energy. Just feel lifted up. Staying in that high level of emotions you've practiced. To realize that you can stay here, you can live here. It becomes a way of life. And instead of just practicing the movements for some time during the day, you can live those movements throughout your day. So stay connected. I'll be back in a little bit. I will send out energy. You'll feel the connection. And then in your connection to the master's energy and to your own energy, bring your focus back to your heart area. See a beautiful ball of light in your heart. Unconditional love emanating from your heart. Then you realize wherever you can walk, whatever you can do this under both the guidance and the power of your master's unconditional love and then your own unconditional love. See that light in your heart. Just fill your whole body with that beautiful, high energy love, the beautiful light. And see that light leave your body in bands and going to your friends, going to your loved ones, going to the people that perhaps aren't your loved ones. Because in your understanding of this unconditional love, everyone is trying to figure out life. And you love them for that. You don't lose your level of energy to those who are struggling in different ways than you. You just love them because you do. It's because of who you are. You just have this beautiful smile now. It just feels so good to be in this unconditional love. And then you can bring your focus back to your middle of your heart. See all that beautiful light forming again as a ball. And then that beautiful light gently comes back down to the lower dantian. And the light begins to spin as a ball in your lower dantian. As it spins, it gets smaller and smaller, but brighter and brighter. Smaller and brighter, till it's so small, but so bright. And tuck that beneath your navel. And take three slow, gentle, deep breaths again. Feel how different the body is. It's full of your unconditional love. Then gently rub the palms of the hands together. Massage your face. Massage your ears. Beautiful. And then we'll stop there. Just with this beautiful feeling as leaders, committed to that life of unconditional love. To be able to connect in your community to make a difference in the world through your unconditional love. So I look forward to having those connections with you in other places as well. In the meantime, just love yourself so well, as I love you too. Good night.